All right. Tonight we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and as we plow our way through this book, this is such a great passage because there is so much enthusiasm in this passage. Do you ever feel like sometimes you just don't feel like being an on-fire Christian? Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? And this passage really takes that and maybe challenges us to think about, why do we get down on stuff? Why do we become negative about stuff? Why do we become discouraged? There's a college student, we'll call him Stephen. It's a true story, read it in a newspaper. He, like most college students, lived on about $400 a month. And while he was studying one evening, there was a knock on his dorm room door, and there was a lawyer standing there with a briefcase, and he said, "Are you Stephen?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, I have bad news for you. Your uncle died. But I also have good news for you." And this was in the newspaper. He left his entire fortune to this young man, it was his uncle, $975 million.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching, someone said. So he goes from having literally nothing to having the world. Now the story was written when this happened. And so the rest of the story isn't there. But perhaps we can take two lessons from this. One, it doesn't hurt to be nice to your uncle. And two, his life probably took a drastic turn on that day. How do you think his life may have changed? How would you describe it? Could you describe it with a word or two? Yes.
I don't know about him, but if I inherited $975 million, I would consider it the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Okay.
Because I know probably what I would do.
All right.
And the Lord probably wouldn't be part of it. That's what scares me. I don't want to inherit a lot of money or
good.
Win the lottery and all that stuff.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike.
I give.
You'd give.
I'm there right now. The Lord would be part of it. This church here would be getting some big bucks.
All right. Maybe a pay raise for the new preacher? Maybe. I'm happy. It would be radically different. It would just have to be if you had that much money. I agree with Glenn. It would scare me because oftentimes money messes you up. Right. But the inheritance that we get from Christ is pretty significant too. It is... What's that?
More significant.
More significant. And so I just want to kind of to create a contrast here. We can understand what it might be like to receive a great monetary inheritance. What about our inheritance as Christians? How does that change us? Has that made us radically different? Does it make us radically different? When people encounter us, do they encounter somebody who's radically different? So that's where we want to go tonight. And I want to start by reading the passage. So if you'll read along with me. Peter writes, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven from you." Did you realize how long that sentence was? In the Greek, it slams all the way through, I think, verse 8. You are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, though now, for a short time, you have had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, so your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love Him, though you have not seen Him. And though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He begins, in some translations it's blessed, in some translations it's praise. Either one conveys something that's very important for us to understand. Literally, it means good words. So, good words toward God the Father, good expressions of life. So praise, a blessing, maybe a phrase that conveys value and importance and authority. Peter starts out with words that express our situation in Christ. It's a vocabulary of blessing. We have someone who has been amazingly kind to us, and we always say, God bless this person. That's a word of blessing. That's a word of praise. That conveys the gratitude in our hearts of what we're experiencing as a recipient of this blessing. What about the blessing that we've received from Christ? Do you own a vocabulary of blessing? Are the words that you use about life, about what's going on in your life, about what you've received from God, are they words that express a good situation? Or are they words that express something else? And we'll get to that in a few minutes. So Peter starts out this section. I kind of wanted to entitle it, Salvation is a really, really, really big deal. Because this is the vocabulary that he's using. These are the types of words that he's using to express what our response should be because of the grace that has been shown to us. His actions toward us prompt a response. And the mercy of God is the basis for this action. And I believe understanding that, understanding the point of mercy, that we've received mercy when maybe we deserve something else, maybe because of our actions or the things that we've been through, we have, our situation should be different. Sometimes we do things and we get consequences, and we kind of deserve those consequences. But from the big picture of things in regards to our faith, we don't deserve what we've been given. But God's mercy imparts that to us, gives that to us. It is the gift. I love this idea of a new beginning. It is the gift of a new beginning. He says, and he refers to it, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. But really that new birth is a new beginning. It's a chance to start over. And because it's a living hope, that means it's something that is always in play. It's always it's always active. And for me, there are times when I was a younger Christian, and I guess even sometimes as a more mature Christian, where I'm looking forward to the new day. I'm looking forward to, the Lamentation writer says, God's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:22, I think that's what it is, or 2:23. God's mercies are new every morning. And so I can be discouraged today, but I don't have to stay that way, because God's mercies are new every day, and tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new opportunity
to start over again. It's a living hope. That means it has daily applications. It's not just a future wish, but it impacts us today. It influences us today. And Peter says that, he says that we've received an inheritance. And he describes that inheritance with a couple of words. Remember week before last, we talked about the fact that some people said Peter couldn't have written this because of the quality of the language, the quality of the Greek that he used. Well, here's an example of that. Okay, in your translation it says, an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, something like that. So the first word is apathartos. The second word is amiantos. And the third one is amarantos. Is my microphone on?
No.
Ah! Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is. All right.
It's not working.
Test. Test. Yeah. We dead? I can stay here by this thing. All right, yeah. So, let me do it this way. Apathartos, amanitos, and armarantos. So if you could say this quickly, it would create a rhythm as he said it. And there is just the word "and" in between all of these. So he's discussing what it is. We would say in English, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And those are great words that we'll talk about in a minute. But in the Greek, they kind of rhyme in rhythm, and that just shows the creativity. And this is just one example of Peter's ability to write well and to create a document that is meaningful and that gets us to pay attention to what is being written. So that this is imperishable. How many of you have received an inheritance? I received a little inheritance. Okay, yeah, it wasn't much. It's gone. So my understanding of inheritance is kind of the way Americans look at it. You know, our parents might leave us something, or an uncle or a relative or something like that. And it could be money, it could be some other sort of valuable. But it's not always lasting. And even the point that Glenn made, if he received that much money, it probably would... Well, I don't know what it would do. I couldn't say probably, but
it would ruin you.
It would ruin you. Yeah. So that's the nature of it. It's perishable. Worldly inheritance is perishable. For the Jews, they may think in terms of the land, and at this point, the Jews did not have their land inheritance any longer. When the temple was destroyed, all of those records were gone. They probably couldn't get back to that point of their inheritance. So they didn't have it anymore. It was perishable. That the inheritance from God is undefiled, defiled. I heard there was a famous person whose father left him a lot of money. His father made it bootlegging. So that's kind of sketchy. And this inheritance that we get from God doesn't fade.
Right.
It never fades. It is always bright. It's always what it appears to be. It's not fake. So this is the inheritance that we see. And then he also talks about the certainty of the inheritance, that it is protected, that it is protected. And so I got the idea, you know, since my idea of inheritance is valuables, that if I did have valuables like that, like $975 million worth of valuables, I'd put it in a safe place. I'd put it in a bank vault where it would be secure and no one could get it unless I gave them permission to do that, or on my word. Our inheritance is in the vault. It's protected. It is protected by, it's protected in heaven. So it's in this place. And there's an interesting point that is introduced here that comes in at the end, is that do I have my inheritance yet? My heavenly inheritance. Do I have that yet?
It's reserved.
Okay, it's reserved. Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask a weird question.
Love them. Love weird questions.
Because when he says that, we're talking about in verse 4, the inheritance and that's reserved in heaven for you.
For you.
And then, who are protected? So isn't it the who, the us that are protected by God?
It is, as some translations make it clearer, the inheritance is protected and we're protected. Both. See, that's why the lockdown here is so important for our confidence. So, back to my question. No, it's good. That was good, and I'm glad. I was going to, that's going to be my point, but it's a good one. And it is so, like, I have no fear. James, when we talked about the dragon last Sunday, and I know I've already mentioned this, I said, you know, what happens when a dragon, an enraged dragon comes after you, and, you know, someone said, run. And James says, I'm going at the dragon. I'm taking the dragon down. And we should have no fear. If that's where our faith takes us, we're protected. We don't have to worry about whether or not we will finish this race successfully, this fight. Okay, now, have we received our inheritance yet? Yes, sir.
You receive an inheritance when someone dies.
Okay.
Yes, you don't necessarily get it immediately.
Okay.
It has to go through probate sometimes.
Good. I'm liking this.
So it's there.
It's there.
We don't get it instantly.
Okay.
You can always cancel your reservation. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, you don't want to cancel the reservation, no.
But through our actions and through our lack of faith, we can.
Yeah.
It's reserved.
Yeah.
But we have a choice to cancel that.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. It's there. Are you... Did you sign the papers? Did you go through the process? Yes.
Ephesians 1, Paul says that we have obtained an inheritance. It's that, you know, one of those long sentences.
Yes.
So I don't know if he's talking about the same thing.
Okay. You want to read the long sentence?
Sure. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, yeah, who works all things after the counsel of his will.
That was a long, was that all one sentence?
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, there's more. All right. He's saying that we have it. We have it. We possess it. It is ours. And I would think that if I knew that I would be receiving this large inheritance, earthly inheritance, that it would begin to affect how I lived, maybe in a negative way, as Glenn pointed out, or maybe, you know, in a positive way. That same, the idea of obtaining is in verse 9. of our text. We should start in the middle of verse 8 or the beginning of verse 8. You love him though you have not seen him, and though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because, my translation says, you are receiving. Now, some of those are worded, anybody have a different word there?
It says obtaining.
Obtaining, yeah. You are obtaining the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And, so I did a little work, and it's present. The voice in the Greek verb is present. We are, you know, maybe not all of it, but it does, it is something that we possess. And I believe that's why Peter is saying, praise the God and Father. This is already ours. We have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be thankful for. We have to be comfortable and become comfortable and be comfortable with the vocabulary of a blessing, the vocabulary of praise, the vocabulary of recognizing what we have in Christ. And talk about it. Share it. Be excited about it. Any thoughts about that? The inheritance is protected, and some translations say reserved, some translations say preserved. And the word is, again, really, it's being watched over. It's on lockdown. It's there. You can be assured that as much as it depends on God, it's done. He's got that waiting for you. And it should be affecting you how you live right now. It should be affecting your vocabulary, your actions, how you present yourself, how you portray yourself. So it is protected. And the influence of the inheritance is where I want to begin to wrap us up here. So the influence of the inheritance, there are two things that he mentions. Wait a minute, let me come back here a minute. Protected by the power of God. Now when you read that, and I believe that's, you are protected by the power of God. Let's see. You are being protected. So in the translation I'm using, it says you are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. When you read that you are protected by the power of God, what do you think about? What does that conjure up in your mind? The devil can't get a hold of us. Cannot get a hold of us.
We can't be removed from the inheritance, nor can the inheritance be removed from us. We can affect that outcome.
That's right.
Based on our the choices we make in life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Peacefulness.
What's that?
Peacefulness.
Peacefulness. Yeah. Yeah. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Be strutting in there. So what?
He even protects us from ourselves.
Yeah. God protects us even from ourselves at times. And, Rudy? Yeah? Yeah?
Well, I am assuming that a person so blessed is growing in Christ.
Yeah.
And one of the aspects of growth is the ability to differentiate between what is worthless and what is not.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so the protection could largely consist in just being immune to the temptation to worthlessness.
Yeah.
And yet we still have all those temptations.
They're still there.
I mean, we're still in the world.
So. Yeah. Do you, and if someone else has another comment, that's fine. I want to go back to that. Do you remember a time when you overcame a temptation and that feeling that you did it? You know, there's a lot of times where I did kind of mess it up, but this time. And we just don't attribute it to, you know, some random willpower. It was because of faith. It was me leaning in to God and receiving. I like Ephesians 3, where it talks about that Paul prays that we would be filled with power by the Spirit in our inner being. And when that happens, we feel strong inside. And when that strong inside accomplishes something on the outside, that's just such a great feeling. I was, you know, that feeling of, I was faithful. I love this feeling of being faithful. I love this feeling of overcoming temptation. I love this feeling of doing the right thing. You know, for no other reason than my faith directs me to do that. So being protected by God is a great feeling, and when you experience that, when you have peace in that, when you are walking in that, then this, he says you can even rejoice in your struggles. And that's, Christianity is the only place where, on this planet, where that sort of thing happens. Usually, when people face struggles, they will grumble, they will complain, they'll attack, they'll defend, they'll be negative, and we don't have to do that. You know, we may have to stop and process, but we don't have to do that. We rejoice even though we are going through these struggles. Peter says, it reveals, now, and this makes me nervous. It reveals the genuineness of your faith. So, I had a question. First, is there any other comments we need to make about the power of God working through us, protecting us? Anybody else have another thought there? Okay. If we are grumbling in the stuff that we're going through, is it a sign of inauthentic faith? If I'm a grumbler when I'm going through stuff, or if you just grumble, you don't have any good reason to grumble. No, I don't need any reason to grumble. I just grumble. Is it a sign of inauthentic faith?
What about immature faith?
Okay, I like that. Immature faith. How do we move from immature faith to authentic faith?
I think you do what Paul's trying to describe here. You have a living hope.
Yeah.
You live each day with this, as you said last time, an attitude that you're grateful for these blessings that God's given you.
Yeah.
You have this protection. You have this power that lives in you that should spur you on to be better every day.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes, as she said, it's a sign of an immature faith, but also I think it's a little bit of an Americanism thing where mm-hmm. you you wait so long to ask God to help you, and everything seems to be going against you, and finally you think, oh yeah, I have need of him, right? I've been trying to do this all on my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes we need to stop and pray first.
Yeah. Yeah.
To help the need and the struggle.
Yeah.
Rather than continuing to struggle to the point that we've almost forgotten all about it.
Yeah.
And the blessings we have. And let the negatives outweigh the positives because we're so focused on the struggle that we've lost sight of the positives. We're being blessed with everything.
Yes. Good observation and insight. And that's part of the reason for this vocabulary of blessing and this vocabulary of praise, that we should be constantly acknowledging God. Constantly. Yes, it should be the very first thing when things start getting a little difficult that we should do. So yeah, and I love the idea of thinking in terms of maybe not inauthentic, but immature, and I'm working towards something. God and I are working towards something to get to where He wants me to be so that I can express my faith in terms that are very positive, even when things aren't going well. Now, Dana, you had your hand a minute ago.
Oh, I was just thinking, sometimes grumbling, though, I don't know what your terminology means, but we are human.
Yeah.
So it's real, you can grumble as your first reaction maybe, or second reaction, but it doesn't mean that you still won't turn to Him.
Yes. That's exactly true, yeah. Yeah. So, and that's why I ask the question is, I want us to think about our own lives in regards to our relationship to grumbling. You know, is that your primary method of coping with life? You know, or is it something that, you know, it might even prompt you to go, oh, hey, stop it. Yes, sir.
Well, Job grumbled a lot. He would remain faithful to God. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. And
what did he say?
He said Job grumbled a lot. And, you know, and that's where we really might be looking for answers when we're going through stuff, you know. And that's how I see Job, is like, I'm a good guy. What is this all about? You know, so he was working. He was processing through his circumstances with God.
He was seeking. He wasn't great.
Yeah, yeah. There was. He was seeking, Glenn said. He was seeking to get to a different place. He wanted to know what was going on. And so, sir. Yeah. Yeah, Cliff.
Well, with my hearing, this may have been covered, but in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, a worthless person, a wicked man, is one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eye, who signals with his feet. And there are three things. There are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, 7, which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely quite a contrast there between the person who's not recognizing the inheritance or doesn't have the inheritance. And so they allow their path of life to be characterized by these things. And yeah, God detests those things. Thank you. Thank you. Instead, and that's what I'm saying, like,
Peter is saying this inheritance thing is really, really, really big, because here he breaks again into talking about how significant and how incredible this inheritance is. So he says, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, that your faith may result, not in grumbling, your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor. So this is the result of how we live. It is praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The other influence of our inheritance is that we delight in the attachment we have with our Savior. And he says, "Oh, is this working now? No, yeah, it's working now. Okay, hey." He says, "You love Him, though you have not seen Him, and though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy." When he says inexpressible, what's he mean?
We don't have the words for it, but the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's. I don't have words to describe this. The vocabulary on my tongue is positive and optimistic. I'm going to bless instead of curse. I'm going to praise even when things aren't going my way. But to be able to describe that, that's what he says. It's indescribable. And filled with glory. He says glorious joy. Glory is one of those words that's kind of hard to put a good peg on it to define what it means. I want to give us something to think about and maybe to define it. And we've been talking about, instead of being negative, we are optimistic. The idea is to think highly. As high as I can think, as high as my mind will allow me to express. God calls us to live differently. He calls us to be optimistic. He calls us to live above our problems. He calls us to have this example that cannot be described with words. But we try, we live in a lifestyle of praise and glory that instead of allowing the world to beat us down, we think up, we think highly, we're processing the things we're going through, and that's why we can do that. Even though we're going through these various trials, we're processing those through faith, and I can say, some good may even come from this. Some good may happen as a result. Glenn mentioned my back. That was, I had a very, I guess, a brush with the Grim Reaper, and that makes you think. It changes you.
Yeah, it wasn't just a slip disc.
No, it was a whoa. And so even in something that drastic, we can process it by faith and let it refine us and change us and make us what God needs us to be in this world. That's what people are looking for. I believe that. That's what I was looking for. Maybe you too. And what the world was offering me was perishable, defiled, and fading.
Right.
What faith offers me is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. So this evening, I just want to encourage you to receive your inheritance. Go through the process of probate. Sign your name on that document and live up to the incredible gift that you've been given. Let's stand and encourage one another as we sing this song.